You're listening to Giles Brown on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Chris Difford is a rare breed. As a member of one of London's best-loved bands, Squeeze co-founder has made a lasting contribution to English music with such hits as Call for Cats, Up the Junction, Labelled with Love, Hourglass and Tempted. Even before his first release in 77, his love for writing lyrics has never wavered. In some fantastic place, Chris Difford charts his life from his early days as a dreaming boy in South London with a talent for poetry to becoming a member of one of Britain's greatest bands and beyond. Along the way, he reveals the inspiration and stories behind Squeeze's best known songs and his greatest highs and lows from over four decades of making music. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from the UK, Chris Difford. Chris, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Charles. Nice to speak to you. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. It's been almost over 40 years of writing lyrics. How did it all start? A dreaming boy in South London with a talent for poetry, it says.
I was just a dreamy kind of kid with lots of imagination, and I just floated in and out of life, which I still do. And I get inspiration from writing. It's sort of like self-therapy in many, many ways.
I mean, where was home then in South London? Are we talking sort of Clapham or whereabouts are we?
No, South London for me was Greenwich and Blackheath. Over in South East London, Deptford I ended up living in. That was really part of my life. So, I'm very much rooted in South London, even though I don't live there now.
And how did Squeeze come about in the first place? Did you decide that you wanted to be a pop singer, a rock and roll star? You wanted to have your own band? What was the influence and the idea behind Squeeze, and how did it come about?
Well, I just simply wanted somebody to perform a band with, and I put an ad in a sweet shop window, and Glenn Tilbrook was the only person to answer the ad. And thankfully, we've been together now for 44 years at writing songs. And in fact, we've got a new album coming out in October, our 14th album. So we're still knocking on.
I mean, it's fair to describe you as the odd couple writing together for almost 40 years. How does the process go? And I mean, do you get on like most sort of old married couples, if you'll pardon the expression?
I think we get on like old couple. Yeah, like an old couple. One of us has got Alzheimer's, which is me. But I think we get on like we've always got on, at arm's length. But that's kind of kept our individuality alive, and I think that's very important that we have our own space from each other and we do our own things.
I mean, when most bands start out, they try and write songs that they think will be rock and roll and what they think should be rock and roll lyrics. You were different with Squeeze. How did that come about?
Well, we just wanted to be unique to ourselves and be true to ourselves. So we didn't really follow any commercial paragraph in the book. We just wanted to be Squeeze and write the songs that we wanted to write. It was coincidental that two or three of them became chart successes. But, you know, ultimately we wanted to please ourselves. And to this very day, that's a philosophy that we still stick to.
I mean, Squeeze were part of the new wave, if you like, the British new wave with Madness, The Police, The Jam. I mean, did you feel that you were a part of a new wave, or was it just something that happened to be going on as you were becoming more popular?
I think I was a bit giddy at the time. I don't really know. I don't really remember what the wave was that we were on, but it definitely felt energy. You know, it definitely felt that when we were young and in a movement like that, it was a very exciting thing because all the clubs and pubs in London were full of really great bands, from Dr. Feelgood to the Sex Pistols, Ian Dury to Elvis Costello. You know, there was just like an amazing array of talented people playing.
And what we also are going to see each other's gigs and dropping in, because I mean, I know there's a sort of, that even now that scene sort of still goes with, you know, you've worked with Jules before and Suggs and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not quite the same when you're 63 years old. It's kind of a slightly different energy, really. But yeah, we still keep in touch with each other. And it's, you know, I think that music is the oil that keeps the squeaky wheel from turning, really.
Were you prepared for the success that Squeeze had? And did the success go to your heads at all? Or did you manage to keep yourself, you said you were giddy a little bit earlier, but did you manage to keep yourself on the ground, not go sort of commercial, not go over to the States and do the big States things? I mean, how did you keep yourself sort of grounded?
We did go to America to try and break it over there, and we succeeded after 60 tours. We ended up playing Madison Square Garden a couple of times and playing some big stadiums. I think we had our fair share of self-appreciation, as anybody would if they were doing the same thing. So, but, you know, we have to look to the present, really, and to be grounded in the present is the most important thing now, I think.
So why the book and why now? What gave you the idea to put this all down at this particular point in your life?
Well, I've been writing it over the last 4 or 5 years in the back of a tour bus, and it started out as a book of letters to people, and then somebody suggested that I put it out as a book. It's coincidental that it comes out at this time. There's no sort of major plan about it coming out at this time, apart from the fact that after 5 years, I didn't think I could actually say anymore. I wanted to make sure that I was sort of documenting what had happened in the past.
And I mean, how did you go back? Because I mean, a lot of people can't remember what they were doing last Wednesday. Never mind sort of 30 years ago or 40 years ago. How did you go back? Did you keep diaries during Squeeze's sort of rise to fame, or was it just a case of carefully going back through, you know, gig lists and tour stuff that you'd done before?
Well, I did keep diaries, but I didn't really lean on them too much. I just kind of went with. I went with the way that I remembered things mostly, but the arc of the story is about how two people can join a band, have the same commitment to be successful, drift apart, and then come back together again, and then all the drugs and the alcohol that sort of were in the middle of all of that. So that was the original arc of the book, and I think that's kind of what it is about.
Also in the book, you talk about the inspirations that came to you for various songs. I mean, did you have sort of several eureka moments, Call for Cats or Up the Junction? I mean, how did they sort of come about?
Up the Junction was written very quickly in about 5 minutes, and I don't really remember how that happened. But I think what I've learned is good songs come to you, you don't go to them. So if you're lucky, you can sit there and songs just appear on your desktop. And I find that when I sit there and I'm trying to look for songs, they're harder to find. So it's about waiting. It's about having the patience for those songs to appear.
I mean, one of the things is here at the station, we do a favourite song of the year. And this time round, we were asked to do our favourite song of all time. Now, my background is mainly rock, but I know a damn good song when I hear it. And my favourite song of all time is Tempted. How did that one come about?
Tempted was written on the back of a cigarette packet, literally, in a minicab going to Heathrow Airport on tour with Squeeze in 82, around that time. And when we went in the studio to record it, Elvis Costello suggested that Paul Carrack sang it. And, you know, I think that was the right move. But both Paul and Glenn sing the song so brilliantly live. And it seems to have stood the test of time. It's one of those very interesting songs that sounds very easy to play, but it's actually hugely complicated.
Talking about hugely complicated, you're still on tour. You've taken some time out from Squeeze on occasion, and you've come back to the band, and you're still touring. I mean, do you still get that buzz from, and there's a new album, of course, in the offing as well. Do you still get that same buzz from the studio and from being out on tour?
I'm not really a studio person. I'm not that keen on being within four walls day after day making records. I like to get in and out as quickly as possible. But being on the road is a different animal altogether. And once you're finally tuned into the tour, which can take a couple of weeks, then there's nothing really as good as being in a band. And at the moment, we've got a really fantastic lineup in our band. And I'm hoping that that we'll be able to present a fantastic tour.
And what about the fans? Because they've been with you for 40 years or so now. I mean, is it great to meet the fans? Do you find that you're getting new fans as well who come to your work?
In America in particular, we do get lots of new fans, particularly younger people who come with their parents. And that's a really lovely thing, especially when they're bringing copies of our record to sign. So, yeah, it's lovely. It's new.
So what have you got planned then for the rest of this year and also next year, 2018, Chris?
Well, we've got a UK tour that starts in October and a new album coming out on October the 13th. Beyond that, I'm not quite sure, but it'll probably be some of the same, hopefully.
The book is called Some Fantastic Place. It's out now. If people want to find out some more information about you, I mean, I know there's a website about you and Squeeze and also the social media thing. Chris, where can they find you?
Well, chrisdifford.com is my website, and that directs you to all the things that I do, my blogs and my merchandise, but it also directs you to Squeeze, and you can find out more information about Squeeze too. So, you know, we're pretty much the same sort of thing.
Well, it's been great to speak to you. Thanks for your time today, Chris Difford.
Thank you, Charles.